Tonight I will be reading out of the book of Acts, chapter 17, beginning at verse 22 and go into verse 27. And then I will go into Philippians chapter 3, and I will read verse 10. And I want you to notice the reading of the word of the Lord. Acts chapter 17, verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For I passed by and beheld your devotions. I found an altar with an inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship. Him I declare unto you." Let me stop right there and go on into the book of Philippians, chapter 3. And I will come back to that in just a moment. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. The same man writing again said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Why, Paul? Why? If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press. Don't forget that. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I would like to use tonight for a subject, and I'm treading on a little bit unfamiliar ground. I have developed this. I haven't preached it. I only touched it just a very little. But I'm going to use for a subject tonight the statement and the desire of the Apostle Paul that I may know him. This is our final night. We've shouted together. We've sang together. We've worshiped together. We've wept together. And now it's coming to the close of camp meeting. Just a little while, it will have been written. History will not be able to change it. It'll go into the annals of Pentecostal history of New York. Camp meeting, 1987. Has it accomplished what you wanted it to? Have you gleaned from it what you wanted to get? Are you any different now than you was when you came? Stirred, but not changed. Will you in just a few days forget all that you've heard and all that you felt? and slip back into the same old realm that you've been in? If that's the truth, then we are the biggest bunch of foolish people that ever lived. You should have saved your money and spent it on shoes and hot dogs rather than come here and not get anything. I could have stayed in Texas and went fishing. But I came here and I shall return a different man. I want to know Him. And in the next little while, you can change the course of your camp meeting. We have had a tremendous camp meeting. I don't know what kind you've had. That's up to you to decide. But God has been in this place. Shall we pray? Our Lord, we come to You tonight. Our heart, our hands lifted up to You. We want You to know that we appreciate You walking these aisles, permeating the atmosphere of this building. Every touch of anointing that we felt, every service we heard Brother Huntley preach, every song that we've heard, every message that we've listened to, every meal that we've eaten, God, we want You to know that we appreciate what You've done for us in this camp. Be with us, O Lord. Let us walk these last few moments of history with a heart lifted up to You, our minds stayed upon You, and a desire that I may know Him. We ask it in Jesus' name. You may be seated. In the reading of our text in the book of Acts, I read to you about the Apostle Paul going to Athens and finding a place where they worship all kinds of idols, all kinds of inscriptions, all kinds of superstitions being parlayed in the world. And he stood there and said, "You men of Athens, I perceive that you are a bit too superstitious." And he said, "I found this inscription over here that says to the unknown God. And I want to declare Him unto you." I don't believe that a more qualified man could have stood there. I don't believe that a man that knew more about God could have stood there. And I've preached about the unknown God in so many ways and in different facets. And I thought that I had exhausted that particular area of ministry. But then I found this same man saying, "I want to know Him. I want to know Him." Let me ask you, what do you know about God? Just what do you know about Him? Brother Foss, he's great. Yes, He is great. But let me ask you, how do you know He's great? Is He great because somebody told you He was great? Is He great because you heard somebody testify about His greatness? Or do you really know that He's great? Brother Foss, I know Him as a Savior. Do you really know Him as a Savior? If you have been saved, then you can say with unerring certainty, I know Him as a Savior. How many of you, you felt His saving grace? You felt His saving power? Amen. Oh, I know you fellows, you were good guys. You really didn't need much. You didn't have to repent very much. You never done anything wrong. It didn't take much of anything to save you. Just a little passing thought. Can you really say that He's a Savior? Really? When I think about where He found me, then I have to say, He's a Savior. A Savior. A Savior. It may not be so in New York. Let me talk about Houston. We got a little Christian city down there. We got 35 United Pentecostal churches in my town. In my county alone, there's 55. In that same county, there's probably 2,000 or 3,000 Baptist churches. There's probably 1,000 Methodists. And huge Catholic cathedrals everywhere. And the Assemblies of God, 600 churches in Houston. Not to say anything about the Church of God and the Church of God in Christ and every other kind of Pentecostal church that you can think about. Every segment, even PTL. Whether you like it or not, they go by your name. But hey, friend, I want to tell you, they're not what we are. Not by long shot. A very long shot. They asked me the other day, do you know what a ski slope and Tammy has in common? I said, well, no, what? They said 9 inches of base and 4 inches of powder. But hey, they're claiming part of your block. They're claiming part of your world. They're claiming some things that belong to you. You like that? You're going to commit that to memory. That belongs to us, friend. Every one of them that have received the Holy Ghost should have received it in a United Pentecostal church. You say, well, they didn't get the Holy Ghost. Well, that's up to you to argue. I'm not going to debate that with you. My town, my city, it's thinking. Our church began to grow, and some of the older saints come to me and said, I don't like what's happening. I said, what's wrong with you? They said, I've been sitting in that seat for 10 years, ever since we've been in this new building. And now new people are coming, and I've got to sit somewhere else. I said, well, praise God. I couldn't move you. The Lord couldn't move you. The devil couldn't move you. So now new people have got you moved. A harlot come to church off of the street. You knew that that's what it was. She come in, she sit down by certain people. They would move. But you said you knew him as a Savior. A real Savior. Savior. I had the plumber at our church. Not many days ago, we had to take the lid off of a septic system. And when you got a septic system as big as the one that's there at that complex, Brother Minshew took that machine and lifted that lid off of that system. And I watched them as they pumped out all of the refuse and the filth and the muck, the mire, the dirt. Everything that you could think of had gone into that septic tank. I watched him get down in that and put his hands down in it and work in that area. Wait just a minute. I see you snickering and I know what you're thinking. But here's what I want to tell you. When God found some of us, He had to get down in the filth, the dirt, the muck, the mire. He did not care how dirty it was. He didn't care how bad I smelled. He didn't care what he had to clean off of me or what he got on himself. But he loved me until he picked me up and put his arms around me and said, I love you. I want you to be my son. Don't think that he didn't get his hands dirty when he picked you up, Brother Teets. Don't think that it didn't take something. Hey, friend, don't be afraid. You say, Brother Foss, I don't want to fool with that one. I don't want to get myself dirty. Hey, the same blood that cleansed you is going to cleanse him if you'll let it do the work. We know Him as a Savior. One of the worst junkies in our city, connected with every area of dope traffic there is, come walking into our church 5 weeks ago. And he sat there. I didn't know who he was. But a woman whose boy is messed up in drugs knew who he was. And he come in and sit down by Sister Franks. She sat there. And, you know, you kind of looked your audience over. Oh, he was a cool dude, boy. He was dressed. He looked sharp. He had it all going for him. And you think, well, I hope things goes off nice. I don't know who he is, but I want it to be okay. But that's the night that we had an apostolic breakdown. My God, they run, they jumped. They'd done everything that they was big enough to do in that church that night. And before he left, he said, "Miss Franks, you seen that woman over there that was in the floor? Hey, if they was going to arrest us for being holy rollers, they'd have to find some kind of evidence somewhere. They couldn't convict you of that hardly. That little woman that night rolled in that floor. It embarrassed me. Hey, can I be honest with you? You think, well, you know, Brother Fawcett's preaching. It wouldn't embarrass me. If you was a pastor and things happened that you kind of wished you could control a little better, your face turns red and you kind of, for fear of her being ungodly as she rolled on the floor, somebody run up there and grab my coat, and you know my coat's like a blanket." I thought, "Oh Lord, oh Lord." But friend, when he left, we was in an altar service. He said, "I will be back. And Miss Franks, I won't. What the little woman got laying in the floor." Oh, there's nothing wrong with that. It depends on where he found you. It depends on where you came from. You need to learn to praise him. The next service, he walked in. He wasn't dressed so cool. Had been high on speed and angel dust for 30 days. He walked into that service and he sat down. About middle ways, I watched him come down an aisle, hit the altar. And any time you go to the altar in Bethel Tabernacle, it's not long till somebody's praying with you. No matter if Brother Foss is preaching or what's going on, that's what it's all about. Now, hey, I got 3 hours yet. I'm going to preach. Don't worry. God filled him with the Holy Ghost that morning. We baptized him in Jesus' name. There was no chills. There was no diarrhea. There was no withdrawal. There was nothing. God done the entire work on that boy that day. Savior. 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 I preached a sermon in the Bible school several years ago. The subject of it was a shepherd's heart. And I read a story about a shepherd. And then I went up into the sheep country up in South Central Utah, and I talked to a shepherd. Found him in a hut up on a mountain. And he was sitting there watching those sheep. And he said, "It's time for me to take them down, and they're going to shear them, and the ones that's ready, they're going to market. But," he said, "I won't go with them." I said, "Why?" He said, "You get to where you love these sheep." And he said, "A true shepherd will never, never, never sell a sheep to be slaughtered." But here's what he told me. He said, "When you find one sick, or he's wounded, when you pick him up, there is a secretion that comes into that wool that'll get on your hands. If you carry him, it gets on your clothes, and it smells horrible." He said, "It doesn't matter how you wash him, it doesn't come out. It won't come off of your hands. It's got to wear off." Friend, when Jesus found me, he did not care what got on him. I was wounded. I was hurt. I was down. I needed something. And he picked me up and put me to his bosom. And he held me there until I received everything that I had to have. Where, saint of God, let me ask you, where can you say, "I know he is a Savior"? We shout about him being a healer. How do you know he's a healer? You ever been healed? You know, I resented so much the death of my son when people would come and tell me, I know how you feel, and they still had theirs. Hey, that's nonsense. I used to tell people when they lost their mother and dad, I'd stand at the head of the casket and I would tell them as they were weeping and bending over in grief, and I'd say, I understand, I know, I didn't understand, I didn't know. I still had mother and dad with me. You see a saint of God walk up, or a sinner come up bending under the impact of cancer, knowing that they're going to die. And you tell them he's a healer. Look, I've never been sick in my life until 2 years ago. I never had the chicken pox. I never had the mumps. I never had the whooping cough. I did have a case of the measles. Outside of that and a sore throat, I've never had anything in my life. And then I walk up to you, Scotty Teets, and tell you, and you dying with cancer, hey, don't worry, buddy. It's all going to be all right. It's going to be okay. It's all right. The Lord's a healer. Come on now. How do you know Him as a healer? How do you know? Because somebody told you? You see, when you really want to know God, you want to know more about Him. You want to know something about Him. You want to know what's going on. You want to really get acquainted with Him. You've got to go further than what you hear, what you've heard, and what somebody else told you. I'm getting ready to preach to you. It's got to be more than that. You say, Brother Foss, I've known Him for 40 years. Great. Great. But what do you know about Him? You have known me now for a week. You don't know much about me. You've learned more about me this week than you knew. Although you've been in my home. You've been there. The Huntleys stayed with us a while, and I've loved them ever since I've known them. But they really don't know that much about me. Are you serving a God that's almost a stranger to you? Or have you ever really got involved with Him to the point that you can say, I know Him. I really know Him. Paul, you said you wanted to know Him. You said you wanted to know Him and the power of His resurrection. I know something about the power of the resurrection. Because He found me dead in the trespasses of sin. And He gave me life. I know that. Power of resurrection. Why didn't you stop there, Paul? He raised you up off of a Damascus road. He gave you eyesight back to you. And there you were. But now you're saying you want to know Him in a different way. How do you want to know Him, Paul? I want to know Him in the fellowship. Oh, and when you start talking about fellowship, that means getting close to somebody. That means loving somebody. That means being with somebody. Oh, friend, I believe if there was ever a time that we need the desire to know more about Him, we need it now. Let's talk about a deliverer. Let's go back to that. I want to know Him as a deliverer. I begin to think, what is the greatest deliverance I can think about? Maybe you got something greater, but let me do the preaching, so I'll just use what I think. Three young men. Great young men. Men that loved God. Men that loved Him with all their heart. They were put into captivity. You know, if we were taken into captivity, man, we'd squeal like a pig under a gate. Oh, look where God's put me. God don't have any more use for me. God don't love me anymore. God wouldn't leave me here if He cared about me. But there was those three young men in captivity, and finally somebody made an image and said, we're going to bow the music and you are going to bow down. That's what you think. Hey, look at me. Some of you are so wrapped up in self-pity that God can't get through to you anyway in this world. And you need to hear what I'm saying tonight. Carried off into bondage. You're going to have to bow down to an image that you don't believe in. Yeah, you are. No. And so they sounded the music. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego stood there. Now, I'm not playing with you tonight. If I wanted to play this audience, I'd get you out in the aisles with this illustration, but I'm not playing with you. Isn't it terrible that you're the only one that's going to take a stand for God? Isn't it terrible that you're the only one that ever has any trials? Oh, God has treated me so bad. What's God got it in for you for? And why do you think you're so important that God's going to let so much other stuff go just to treat you bad? Hey, God's got more to think about than figuring out how to treat you bad. You blame a lot of things on God that's not God's fault. Going to put them in a furnace. Oh, but Brother Foss, if they get in the furnace, the Lord is a deliverer. Just let them bring on the furnace. Let them bring on the fire. And when they bloated again, they didn't kneel down. The king come to them and said, look, I want to know something. I told you what was going to happen. Yeah, you did. I told you that if you didn't bow down, that we was going to put you in the fire. Yeah. Okay, now I'm going to tell you. I'm going to blow the trumpet one more time. And you're going to bow down. Trumpet blew and they just stood there. The king come back. He said, heat the furnace. 7 times hotter than it's ever been. I want you to get it white hot. I want you to get it so hot that nothing could stand that heat at all. Get it going! He went over there and said, I want to talk to you now. Who is it that's going to deliver you? I'm fixing to throw you in the fire. Where is this God that's going to do this for you? They said, we're not careful to answer you in this manner. He is able to do it. He can do it! If He wants to. But if He don't, we're still not going to bow down. If He don't, we're going to go in the fire. If He don't, you can throw us in the furnace. We're not about to give up. Man, that king got so mad he went blind. I can't believe that you've done that. I can't believe that you're telling me that. He said, get the men ready. The furnace is hot. I want you to bind them up. I want you to throw them in. They got them boys bound up. Here come two big guards. Watch out there in the window. I'm going to throw it at you. They got them ready. Did you know that the men that threw them in the fire, they died. There's Shadrach. Come here, Meshach. In the fire he went. Come here, Abednego! I've done put two of them in. Are you sure you want to go? Are you sure you want to do it? Hey, buddy, it don't matter to me what you say or what you tell me, King. If you throw me in the fire, well and good. I'm not bowing.
Amen.
I wish we had another mic. I'd make you help me preach. Abednego, buddy, you're a nut. Man, we'll swing you extra time if you'll just back up. Swing on, man. Swing on, man. Come on. Come on. If you'll just back up, you don't need to go where Shadrach is. You don't need to go where Meshach is. Hey, Abednego, just tell us. We're swinging you a little bit extra here, buddy. Oh, you don't need to go in there. Swing on, boys. Swing on. And in the fire he went. That old king thought, I guess I showed them who's boss. I showed them who's got this thing in his hands. I showed them they can't stand up and ridicule me. They'll think the next time. He said, I'm going to go look in the fire. Cremated. Burned to ashes. I had a relative that was cremated. An atheist. He took his ashes to a 200-foot cliff out in central Texas that overlooked the Guadalupe River. He wanted them ashes, dust in the breeze, and that wind always come up the mouth of that cliff. And when they sprinkled the ashes, they just blew. And they fell out in the rocks. Some of them fell in the water. His thought was this, that if there's a God, I'd like to see Him put me back together again. Hey, Jimmy, I got news for you, wherever you are. You might be in the seven seas somewhere. Part of you may be lodged in the rocks in central Texas. But someday, 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 I'm going to call you. I'm going to call you by your name. And you're going to hear me when I call. And your bones are going to come together. Your bones are going to find each other. You're going to walk up to where I am. Oh, listen, friend. Do what you want to do, but you're messing with God. Let's look in the fire. Come here, King. I'm going to open the door, and I want you to tell me what you see in the fire. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Come on, say okay.
Okay, boss.
All right. Now, if you're going to help me, you can't take the lockjaw.
Okay, I'm going to
help. All right. When I open the door, you tell me what you see.
Yes, sir. Lord, we throw three in there, and there's four, and one is like unto the Son of God.
Oh! Now, I want you to come over here and stand by me. I want you to open the door and let me be the king. I'm ready.
What you think you're going to see?
Open the door.
Find out.
Yeah. My God, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. No, I don't believe it.
I do.
No. Four in the fire. What are they doing? My God, they're dancing. They're dancing. They're dancing. Just a minute. I can't prove this, but it sounds good. The Bible tells me that Jesus was the image of the invisible God. He took upon Himself the form of flesh. He came to the world. I believe that when that king looked in the fire and he said he looks like the Son of God, I believe that he was looking in the face of Jesus Christ Himself. What's think about that? You believe it? Fantastic. Then you and me and the Lord's a majority. Friend, that deliverance was so great. Come here, Shadrach. Hallelujah. Smell of him. Was you in the fire, Shadrach? Come on.
Yes.
You was there. Come here, Meshach. Was you in the fire?
Yeah.
Come here, Abednego. Hey, was you in the fire?
Amen.
Did you have ropes on?
Amen.
Amen. Say yes.
Yeah.
Fine. That delivery was so complete. The Bible said there wasn't even the smell of smoke on them.
Hallelujah.
Oh. Hey, friend. Let me tell you one thing. That's one of the greatest deliverances I have ever known. Do you believe that He still delivers? Well then, honey, He can deliver you out of anything you get into. You believe He's still the deliverer? Then He'll bring you forth. You believe He's still the deliverer? Then He'll bring you forth. Do you believe He's the deliverer? You need it. You need it. You need it. He'll bring you forth and you won't even smell like smoke. Oh, God. All right, you may be seated. Let me get through here. Or we will be here at 11 o'clock. I take it that you believe what I've preached. Did you know for that deliverance to happen, there had to be a furnace? And somebody had to get in it? If you really want to know Him, then don't be afraid to get in the fire. He'll deliver you. But it's altogether different when you're the one that's in the fire. When you're in it, it's altogether different. You can see your little old neighbor bent down and broke. You can see him bowed so low. And you can tell him it's going to be all right. You're going to make it. Hey, don't worry, you're going to make it. But my God, when you're the one that's bent down, when you're the one that's under the load, when you go into the fiery furnace, when you're the one that's there, when you come out, you won't even smell like smoke. And then you can tell, my God is a deliverer. I believe that every preacher has been intimidated by crowds and by people. I have stood looking at a corpse in a funeral chapel, even in a funeral service while I was preaching under the anointing. And this is kind of a confessional tonight, and I'm going to confess, and that'll be sufficient because I'm going to tell the story on you too. I have really had the thoughts come to me. Why don't you go down there and take him by the hand and tell him, young man, I say unto thee, arise. Now, how many of you have really you've thought about that? Why didn't you do it? You didn't do it because of what somebody's going to say about you. You didn't do it because he might not get up. Did you ever stop to think that if he didn't get up, he wouldn't be a bit deader than he was before you tried it? Or no worse, that's right. Tell a person next to you, that preacher's hot. Whew. You ever seen the Lord raise the dead? When Jesus was walking on this earth, He stopped the funeral procession. He saw a widow woman, heartbroken. And He said, Mother, what's wrong? He said, my son, all that I have left, that's him. I'm taking him to bury him. He said, just a minute. He walked over and he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. Start blinking his eyes. Got off of whatever he was on and stood there. Mother, your son. You would see that. You would dance. You would scream and you would holler. But do you realize it had to be somebody's boy? Are you willing for it to be yours? That's what the apostle meant, that I might know him. I want to know him in the fellowship of his suffering. We are missing so many things because we refuse to be tried. But if you let him try you, you'll come forth as pure gold. The only way that he can try you, the only way that he can polish you, iron sharpeneth iron. He's got to do it
as though it was full of soap.
We want to be able to say that we raise the dead in our church. Wouldn't that be great for you to be able to witness and you to go to somebody and say, hey, hey, hey!
Sister Davis, you got a little boy? Do you love him? Hey, wouldn't it be fantastic for your church to be able to say that this morning the Lord raised the dead? Wouldn't that be terrific? But it takes on a different story when it's going to be your little boy that you're going to see die. And it's going to be your little boy that you're going to have to trust God that He's going to raise him from the dead. Paul said, I've known Him in the resurrection. I've known Him in revival. I've known Him in miracles. But I want to know Him in the fellowship of things that's not right for me. I want to know Him when things are not wrong, when things are not going all right. I want to know Him in the fellowship of His suffering. And I just want to be one that shouts and dances and runs the aisles. But I'm willing to put my face on the rock. I'm willing to give my back. I'm willing to give everything I've got. I want to know Him. But all in our lives, we got little postage signs that says no trespassing. You get up and you say, God, I'll give you everything. But you really don't mean that. There's areas that you reserve. But I don't want you trespassing here, God. This is mine. You know, when I'd never been in jail, and other than preaching and going to jail to see somebody, something like that. But it might do some of us good if we could get radical enough and reckless enough with our ministry that they put us in jail. You need some publicity somehow. You won't let us advertise on television. I done got my payday and I'm ready to go home. My ticket's paid for. My reservation is in order. And hey, I'm talking to you. But if the news media comes out and wants to do it and they're not charging me for it, it's okay. Tommy Rot. Yeah. So maybe you need to get put in jail, Scotty Teets. Do you know that if they was to come out here tonight and arrest Brother Foss and Brother Yant and Brother Teets, put us in jail, y'all would go on a 3-day fast? You'd be screaming, you'd be crying tomorrow, everything in the church. Oh, God, deliver Brother Falls. Oh, God, deliver Brother Teeth. Oh, God, deliver Brother Yance. And if the Lord did and we come and knocked on the door and you come and saw us, you'd slam the door and wouldn't believe it. Hey, you're no different than those people in the book of Acts. I wouldn't mind getting in jail with some folks, but some of you, I don't even want to sit down at the same table with you. Hey, come on, smile. It's contagious. Help spread it. In jail, backs bleeding, backs aching, scabbed over sores, in stocks, necks bent down. You know, I was, the Lord gave me this message. It was last week, and I was complaining so much. God, I don't understand this, and I don't understand that. He didn't tell me to understand anything. He just said, you believe it, and that's all you got to do, and let me do the understanding. That's all. No doubt Paul thought, well, I don't know what Silas is going to think, but I'm not going to let this thing get me down. Silas, come on, let's sing. Now, I wouldn't mind getting put in jail with Doug Davis up here, because he can sing. I've heard you try, and I don't want to. Let's sing. Let's sing. Let's sing. Why don't you try singing in your depression? It's not the will of God for you to be depressed. It's not the will of God for you to be down. Why don't you sing? You're in jail. Sing! Paul, why are you doing it? I want to know Him. I want to know Him. I want to know Him. You know, when I got to praying and I got to loving God, I got to praising God, I got to worshiping God, I was in a, a prayer meeting at our church, and there was about 150, 200 people out there, and it was Monday night, and it was our family prayer, and I was kneeling there, and I was groaning. Oh, 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 God, oh, God. Hey, I stopped for a few minutes and I got to listening. My whole church was, oh, 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 God. Oh, God. Oh, God.
That's it.
And the Lord spoke to me. He said, I can't believe after you've been where you've been and I've done with you what I've done, that you're down here a moaning and a groaning when you're supposed to be in a prayer meeting. Now, I'm telling you that, but these other preachers ain't got the microphone nor the guts to tell you that about themselves. Hey, I was in such a terrible shape. I even told my wife, I got a notion to call New York and tell them I'm not coming. Hey, I'm just as serious with you as I can get. And I'm preaching to you what the Lord preached to me. And he said, as long as you want to waller in that, you can waller in it. But when you want to get up and get with a program, you can get up. Friend, I was praying on the platform at my big chair. I got up. I said, devil, I'm not going to take it. I want you to know that you're not going to do me that way. I'm going to have victory. I'm going to have it. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to resist you. I come against you in the name of the Lord. It's not the will of God for me to be down. It's not the will of God for me to worry. That 15 minutes of me shelling the corn. Brother, when I got to praying and I began to get victory, I looked around. There were 200 dancing. There were 200 praying. Hey, friend, what I got to tell you is if you'll wake up, that God is still on the throne. Paul said in the midnight hour, I'm going to sing. He suffered for me, and I'm going to suffer for him. And I'm not going to gripe about it while I'm doing it. I'm not going to complain about it, what I'm doing. They beat me with 39 stripes, and they put 40 on him. They gave him a cross, and they gave me stocks. I'm not going to complain. And there it was. He prayed. He sang. When he started singing, things started happening. The jail started swaying. The chains clunk, clang, clang, clunk, clunk. Caught away in the spirit. They were singing. They was praising God. In a little bit, the old door, and it fell off. And the gate flew wide open. The stocks fell off. And the jailer come running in. He drew his sword, and he started to take his life. Paul said, don't do it! We're still here. You know what happened? They turned a jailhouse prayer meeting into a revival. How about letting me be your pastor for about 15 minutes? Everybody in favor say aye. The ayes have it. I'll resign in 15 minutes and give you back to whoever you belong to. While I've been preaching tonight, I've watched some of you. I've purposely tried to lift you out of your seat and pick you up. You wouldn't have deliverance if God gave it to you. You love being where you are. You love to complain. You love to get attention. Now here's one of your 16-inch shells. But I got news for you. This church is going to go off and leave you. And you're going to be left in your little pity party. And you're going to cry. You're going to sit there and not smile. You're not going to take anything to heart. You're not going to get any deliverance. Just sit there if you want to, friend. We are going to have a revival.
If this message has been a blessing to you today, please pass it along to someone else or simply tell them about preachitaudio.com.